I think we need to ask ourselves a question. What does Jesus want me to do? Now, I've asked that question of myself. You need to ask it of yourself also. What does Jesus want me to do? We read, starting in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." This is the general outline of Acts, and it's derived from this verse. The witness of the disciples in Jerusalem is found in Acts 1:1 through 7:60. We've already finished that. It's in Judea and Samaria in 8:1 through 9:31, and we're in that section this morning. And to the uttermost part, not parts, it's singular. Take note of that, it makes a difference. And to the uttermost part of the earth in 9:32 through 28:31, which is the end of the book. Note that part is singular and it means to Rome, where Acts ends. Great persecution against the believers in Jerusalem resulted in their scattering throughout Judea and Samaria. And as they scattered, they proclaimed the gospel wherever they went. Philip, whose ministry in Samaria is recorded in 8:1 through 25, was one of those scattered. After the believers in Samaria had received the Holy Spirit, Philip was directed by the Holy Spirit to go south to the road leading from Jerusalem to Gaza. After arriving at an unknown place on this road, Philip met the Ethiopian eunuch and was privileged to lead him to Christ and to baptize him. Following the baptism, Philip was caught up by the Holy Spirit to Azotus, which is to Ashdod, where he continued preaching the word of God in various cities until he made his way back to Caesarea. As we enter verse 26, we see Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch through verse 40. Sometime after Peter and John left Samaria, the angel of the Lord ordered Philip to go south unto a road in the desert between Jerusalem and Gaza, where he encountered the Ethiopian eunuch. The Holy Spirit directed Philip to join himself to the eunuch's chariot, which Philip did. He then had the privilege of explaining the passage in Isaiah 53, 7 through 8, as referring to Jesus Christ. Following the eunuch's conversion, Philip baptized him. When Philip and the eunuch emerged from the water, the Holy Spirit caught Philip away to Azotus, or to Ashdod, where he subsequently preached in many Samaritan cities until he came to his ultimate destination in Caesarea. Meanwhile, the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. We read in Acts 8, 26 through 40, and I do this to set your context for you. We will come back and take each individual verse as it is translated for us. "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot read Esaias the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near, and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Esaias, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Verse 26 indicates that sometime after Philip and John's departure from Samaria, the angel of the Lord directed Philip to go south unto a road in the desert between Jerusalem and Gaza, but did not indicate the purpose of his trip or the exact location where he was to go on this road. All he knew was that Jesus wanted him to go to this road. We read in verse 26, And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert, and indicates a continuation of the thought of the passage with a slight change of direction, and it's understood in the sense of now. The angel of the Lord is an angel of the Lord in the Greek text. This angel is not identified, but appears to be an angel sent by the Lord Jesus rather than Jesus himself. Spake unto Philip, saying is spoke unto Philip and said, Arise and go. It is get up and proceed, or get ready and travel. He was to travel toward the south, which provided the general direction he was to head, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza provides a more specific destination than toward the south. It speaks of a specific road or highway that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, that is, which descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. Note that although Philip was told to go to this road, he was not given a specific place where he was to go on this road. And he was also not told why he was to go there. Now, the reason he's to go down from Jerusalem to Gaza is that Jerusalem is at a higher elevation than Gaza. So we've got that one figured out, which is desert. Is simply, this is desert. This could mean this is desolate or this is lonely. Both things would be true. Verse 27 indicates that Philip obeyed the angel of the Lord and encountered the Ethiopian eunuch. And this verse describes the Ethiopian eunuch. And he arose and went. He did what Jesus wanted him to do. What does Jesus want you to do? What does Jesus want me to do? And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch under great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. And he arose is used in conjunction with went. And its action is logically prior to the action of went. You know, you have to get up before you can go. It is understood in the sense of, and he, Philip, got up, or and he got ready, and went, suggests, and proceeded, or and traveled. And behold introduces something else which occurred. It means, and look. Although Philip had not been told why he was to go to this road, going from Jerusalem toward Gaza, had he disobeyed and not gone, he would not have had the privilege of meeting the Ethiopian eunuch and of leading him to Christ. Likewise, if God is leading us to do something, we need to do it. If we don't do what God leads us to do, we can expect to miss out on an opportunity the Lord has given us to serve him. Something personal. As you who are regulars here know, nearly 2 years ago, God directed me to accept an invitation to fill the pulpit in the Calvary Baptist Church in Hendersonville, North Carolina. It was shortly after my first wife of nearly 60 years was promoted to heaven. You know the history from there. What if I had declined the invitation? I would not have had the privilege of being involved in this ministry, which I am still enjoying. I trust that you are also enjoying my ministry here as being the will of God, both for you and for me. It is important that we follow the Lord's directions even when we don't know the outcome. Also, as you people know, had I not come and been here, I would never have met Arlita, to whom I am now married. As you know, about 8 or 9 months ago, I experienced some loneliness due to my first wife's promotion to heaven, and due to my personal observation of how much several married couples in this church loved each other and simply enjoyed being with each other. Yet, realizing that I was alone and no longer enjoyed or enjoying the company of my wife. So one day, I decided to ask Arlita, who happened to be a member here, if she would eat supper with me so that we might just talk. I thought it might help cure my loneliness. Although Arlita and I had never spent any time together other than 2 pastoral calls in her home and a couple of occasional meetings where we happened to be in the same place at the same time, in conjunction with my pastoral ministry, one of those places was on a Tuesday evening, and it was at the 50th wedding anniversary celebration of Lois and Kelly Greenwood. And although neither one of us had ever had any romantic interest in the other one. Neither one of us thought we would ever marry again. On that Friday night before our date on the next day, that is on Saturday, God led me to ask her at the beginning of this first date if she would marry me. Can you believe that? God made me realize that going out to eat with her from time to time would not cure my loneliness. This occurred on Friday night before our date. While I was trying to sleep, I didn't do too well. I think I got only about 2 hours of sleep that night. I had no idea that at the same time the Lord was working on me on this Friday night, the Lord was also working on her to submit to his leading and to do his will without her knowing what his leading would be. But she had no idea what was going to happen about 14 to 15 hours later at about 5:25 p.m. that Saturday afternoon. In reality, we didn't even know each other. As you know, because I've told you previously, 5 minutes into our first date, I asked her if she would marry me. She must have been shocked out of her wits, and she said yes. What a blessing we've been to each other. What a blessing we would both have missed if we had not both followed the Lord's direction. Also, in my opinion, and I think it's true, what a blessing the church has experienced to have Arlita as the pastor's wife. Like Philip, I was in the place where the Lord wanted me to be and was doing what he had directed me to do. And in that place, the Lord gave me further direction for my life, as well as for your lives. We need to be where the Lord wants us to be, as far as we also need to be what the Lord wants us to be. We need to be where the Lord wants us to be, and we need to be doing what the Lord wants us to be doing in the way he wants us to be doing it. And when we meet those conditions, he'll give us further direction that we need to continue living for him. So here's the question. Are we where we need to be, both in our lives and in our geography, our location? Are we doing what the Lord would have us to be doing in the way he would have us to be doing it? So I wonder what the next step is for each of us. It'll be different for each of us. We're unique individuals. God has made us that way. And God's will for me is not God's will for you. Nor is God's will for you God's will for everybody else. You know, it bothers me that some preachers seem to think they know God's will for everybody. They don't even know God's will for themselves if they're careful to think about it. A man of Ethiopia, and I'm back to the text now after that long excursion. I won't stray too far from the text in the rest of the time. A man of Ethiopia is an Ethiopian man, and he's described as a eunuch of great authority. Ethiopia refers to the southern portion of Egypt and the Sudan at that time. The eunuch was a castrated man who had risen to a position of great authority. Eunuchs were often placed in charge of harems. Nothing is known of this man's background other than his current status mentioned in this passage. A man of great authority under Candace indicates that he held an official position in the government of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. Now, you may not be aware of it, but Candace is the title of the queen of the Ethiopians, not her name, like Pharaoh is the title of the king of Egypt. It is not her actual name. Regarding this eunuch, who had authority, or who had the charge rather of all her treasure, was over all her treasury, which indicates that he was her chief treasurer and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, suggests who had come unto Jerusalem for the purpose of worshiping. It was apparently a Jewish proselyte. Verse 28 describes what the Ethiopian eunuch was doing when Philip encountered him. He was returning and sitting in his chariot, read, meaning was reading, Esaias the prophet. Was returning indicates continuing action in past time. He was in the process of going back home to Ethiopia after his visit to Jerusalem. He was also sitting in his chariot. Sitting is used in conjunction with read, and its tense indicates that its action was ongoing and occurring at the same time as the action of read. It's understood in the sense of while he was sitting in his chariot. The tense of read indicates continuing action in past time in the sense of was reading. What was he reading? It was Esaias, the prophet. That's Isaiah, the prophet. It's the Old Testament book of Isaiah. Verse 29 indicates what the Spirit, meaning God, the Holy Spirit, led Philip to do. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Then is used in a continuing sense indicating what was happened or what happened next in the sequence of events. Remember that Philip was in the place where he was supposed to be within the will of God. At this time, because Philip was where he was supposed to be and was doing what he was supposed to do, to be doing, he received additional direction from the Lord. Consider something regarding your own personal life. As a member of Calvary Baptist Church, and I recognize that some of you are guests today, and you may have your own church somewhere else, and that's fine. But as a member of your church, where does God want you to be during Sunday school? Where does Jesus want you to be during Sunday school? I think he wants you to be right here in your Sunday school. During the morning service, where does Jesus want you to be? Right here where you are. How about during the evening service? Where does Jesus want you as a believer to be? Right here. How about during prayer meeting? Where does Jesus want you to be? Right here. Or in your own local church, wherever that is. He wants you to be in every service when the doors are open. Is it not right here in the services of Calvary Baptist Church? Why do I say this? Where you are receiving instruction in the Word of God, where God wants you to be as often as you can. Now, I certainly understand vacations, sickness, employment, and emergencies. You know, if you're taken by ambulance to the hospital at 4:45 at night and you can't get to the evening service at 5:00, I'll understand that. No problem. But if it's God's will for you to be in church where instruction is being given in the Word of God, but you are typically absent, are you not out of God's will for your life when you're doing something else? Think about that. What does Jesus want me to do? Are you not missing out on something good that God has for you? Are you not stunting your growth as a believer when you don't expose yourself to the teaching of God's Word? And I'm talking about real teaching from the Bible. Think about it. Think about God's will and your life. I think you should plan to be in regular attendance in every service in this ministry as faithfully as you can be. If for some reason you can't be in a service, you know you can catch it up later on the internet. You couldn't do that 5 years ago. With God's enablement, I will do my absolute best to help you grow spiritually by teaching you the Word of God in words you can understand. Is it not God's will for your life that you take advantage of what you have readily available to you while you have it? I look back in my life. How many blessings have I missed because I was too busy doing something else when God was having some lesson for me to be learned? Think about it. Don't put yourself in that situation. Well, back to our text. That is the last time I go off on that tangent. The Spirit said to Philip indicates that Philip was led directly by God the Holy Spirit regarding what he was to do next. But had he not been there, he'd have not gotten that direction. Go near is understood in the sense of go to or approach. And its tense indicates that it was to be done immediately, meaning at once and without delay. And join thyself to this chariot. And join this chariot. Again, its tense indicates that its action was to be carried out without delay. I remind you that Philip was in the right place at the right time because he obeyed the Holy Spirit in going to this place on the road to Gaza. Verse 30 indicates Philip's response to the Holy Spirit's directive in verse 29. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And continues the thought, but takes it in a slightly different direction. In the Greek text, Philip is the subject of heard. Ran thither to him is used in conjunction with heard, and its tense indicates that his action occurred before the action of heard. It suggests having run up to him or after he ran up to him. And Philip heard him, meaning heard the eunuch. Read the prophet Isaiah says Philip heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. The eunuch was actually reading the prophet Isaiah when Philip approached him. Now, how interesting is this? Philip gets to this place, and here's a man he's never seen in his life. How interesting is it? This man stops his chariot, is reading it right, reading his Isaiah right there at that very time, out in the middle of nowhere. Suppose the Holy Spirit put that thing together like that? Of course he did. Understandest thou what thou readest? Thou as you, singular, refers to the Ethiopian eunuch. And Philip said, are you understanding what things you are reading? Verse 31 reports the eunuch's answer, response to Philip's question in verse 30. And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Well, that might have been a new experience for Philip. I'm not sure however often he might have been invited to sit in an official chariot of somebody that's passing through. But here he is, up in that chariot with the eunuch. The Ethiopian's eunuch's question is, how can I accept man should guide me? Well, can you read the Bible and understand it with the Holy Spirit's assistance? Yes, you can. Don't fail to realize you can be as godly as you want to be, and you can be that by studying the Word of God diligently and being faithful in God's house where the Bible is taught. Some places claim to be churches, but they never teach the Bible to their people. How can I? How would I be able? Or maybe it would be impossible for me to do so, except some man should guide me. as if someone does not guide or instruct me. And he, meaning the Ethiopian eunuch, desired Philip, and he invited Philip, a complete stranger. How amazing is that? Would you invite somebody into your chariot that you'd never seen before? I'd be very cautious about it in our day and age, and I'm sure it would have been the same back then. Verse 32 indicates the passage in Isaiah which the eunuch had been reading. How timely. Within the will of God, Philip just happened to meet this man on this road at this very time. He was trying to figure out the meaning of a passage speaking of the crucifixion of Jesus. Clearly, this meeting was arranged in this place at this time by the Holy Spirit. And do you think God won't also arrange things at the right time just for you, for whatever purpose he has in mind? Of course he does. The place of this scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. The passage of the scripture is the passage of the scripture, which he read was this, where he is the eunuch, is which he was reading was this. The content of this is he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. It's a partial quotation of Isaiah 53, 7 and 8, which continues through Acts 8, 33. Isaiah 53, 7 says he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. It's a reference to the servant of the Lord, meaning the Messiah, which was fulfilled by Jesus. It speaks of Jesus' experience leading to his crucifixion. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, is as a sheep for slaughter he was led, and suggests that he offered no resistance. He's further described as being like a lamb dumb before his shearer. Dumb does not mean ignorant. Dumb means voiceless or unable to speak. Like a lamb dumb before his shearer, which suggests that he did not protest what was about to happen. As followed by so introduces a comparison between the way a lamb acts while his wool is being sheared and the way Jesus acted when he was being crucified. Neither one protests what is happening. A lamb is a young sheep. It should be supplied before dumb, which means is silent or is voiceless, before his shearers, is before or in the sight of the one shearing him. And it's been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, which reads literally as a lamb before the one shearing him is silent. He refers prophetically to the servant of the Lord in Isaiah and ultimately to Jesus. Opened not his mouth has been translated as a historical present. It's literally opens not his mouth. It means he said nothing. Verse 33 continues the quotation from Isaiah 53:8. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. Isaiah 53:8 says he was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. In his humiliation speaks of Jesus' experience in his crucifixion, which was a very humbling experience. His judgment speaks of his condemnation or his sentence, although it could also speak of his justice. Was taken away, suggests was removed, was taken away or was blotted out. You see, Jesus did not receive a fair trial. No justice was afforded him. And who shall declare his generation suggests that no one will name any descendants of Jesus, because there were none. Shall declare suggests will give a detailed account of, will relate or will describe. It deliberates or ponders an event which will never occur. Who will declare or ponder his generation, suggest his family history or his posterity? His generation has been placed in a possession of emphasis in the Greek text, which reads literally, and his generation, who will declare? For his life was taken from the earth indicates the reason no one will declare his generation. For is the word ordinarily translated because, and that's its sense here. His life speaks of Jesus' physical life, his life in the flesh. It was taken from him. Obviously, he was murdered there on the cross. From the earth speaks of the inhabitants of the earth in the sense of from the people, meaning from the midst of humanity. Was taken from the earth has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, which reads literally, because was taken from the earth his life. Jesus had no children because he was murdered as an unmarried man in the prime of life and relatively young. In verse 34, the eunuch asked Philip about the passage he was reading in Isaiah 53. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? He was trying to figure out, who's the prophet talking about? Of himself or of some other man? And the eunuch answered Philip and said, the eunuch is answering the question that Philip had asked in verse 30, understandest thou what thou readest? The answer is he really didn't understand. He's trying to figure it out. I pray thee, were I as the eunuch and thee as you, singular, and refers to Philip as I'm asking or begging you, please, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Is about or concerning whom is the prophet, meaning Isaiah, saying or declaring or asserting this? This is referring to what was stated in verses 32 and 33 in reference to Isaiah 53, 7 and 8. The eunuch asks further of himself or of some other man. The eunuch was asking, was Isaiah referring to himself or to some other man? Of course, we know the answer to this. Isaiah was referring to some other man, meaning to Jesus, rather than to himself. What a setup for Philip to explain what Jesus had done for the eunuch as well as for all humanity. It's equivalent as a setup to, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Which the Philippian jailer asked Paul and Silas. In verse 35, Philip explains the Isaiah passage as referring to Jesus. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Then indicates a continuation of the passage introducing what happened after the eunuch's question. Philip's preached as Philip proclaimed and speaks particularly of his proclaiming the gospel message. Open and begin are both used in conjunction with preached. And their tense indicates their action occurred at the same time as the action of preached. They are used to indicate two facts in addition to preached. Opened his mouth implies what Philip did in order to speak. Began at the same scripture indicates the starting place, meaning Isaiah 53, 7 and 8. where Philip preached unto him Jesus. That is, began preaching unto him Jesus, or began preaching Jesus to the eunuch and what Jesus had done. In verse 36, the eunuch inquired about being baptized. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" It's understood that the eunuch, by this time, had believed the gospel message and had received Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. It also implies that he knew about baptism. Whether he had been previously taught about baptism while in Jerusalem, or whether Philip had explained it to him, is not stated. Anne introduces a continuation as they went on their way, as they were proceeding or going along, they're riding in this chariot now, down or on the road or way, they came unto a certain water. They, meaning Philip and the eunuch, came upon some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here's water. Look, water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" What is hindering, stopping, or preventing me to be baptized, or that I be baptized? You might ask the same question. You know, believers are commanded to be baptized following their salvation. If you are saved but have not yet been baptized, what is hindering you from obeying the Lord in believer's baptism? For those who are part of our church, we could take care of this for you if you wish. Let me know. We're willing. We've got a baptistry. We'd be glad to use it. Verse 37 includes Philip's response to the eunuch's question about baptism and the eunuch's statement of salvation. And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." If thou believest with all thine heart is a simple condition which, for sake of discussion, is actually assumed to be true. Inasmuch as the eunuch claimed to believe, if may be understood in the sense of since, because, inasmuch as, or in view of the fact that, because you believe with all your heart. Thou believest as you believe, with all thine heart as with all your heart, thou mayest. Suggest it's right, it's permitted, or it's proper. And he said, he answered and said, where he's the Ethiopian eunuch, and is answering, he said. Answered is used in conjunction with said and indicates a fact in addition to said. And what the eunuch said is, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." It might instead be understood in the sense, "I believe that the Son of God is Jesus Christ." There's no difference in meaning. The Greek is capable of either way. In any event, it's equivalent to saying that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And it's reminiscent of John 20, 30, and 31, which says, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ," or the Messiah, "the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." Now, merely mouthing these words that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, did not save the eunuch, but genuinely believing them did save him. Verse 38 indicates that Philip baptized the eunuch. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And he commanded, as and he, the eunuch, ordered or directed. And what he commanded is the chariot to stand still, that the chariot stop. Now, you're smart enough to figure out that the chariot could not take orders. Where were the Teslas, the self-driving back in those days. I guess you could command one of them to stop. I don't really know. I've never had one. And from the looks of the price tags I've seen, I don't anticipate getting one anytime soon. But inasmuch as the chariot could not take orders, there must have been a driver to whom this command was given. The tense of stand still indicates that it was to be done right away, so you can hear the screeching of the wheels, right, as the chariot came to a screeching stop. I doubt that. And they went down both into the water. Is both Philip and the eunuch went down or descended into the water? Once they were in the water, he baptized him, means Philip baptized the eunuch. Now remember, baptism was always by immersion on the basis of a profession of faith in Christ. It would seem strange if Philip only sprinkled the eunuch after they both went down or descended into the water. If you're only going to sprinkle a few drops on the guy's forehead, why get your feet and clothes all wet? Verse 39 indicates that the Holy Spirit caught Philip away, and the eunuch never saw Philip again. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. When they were come up out of the water is when they went up or ascended out of the water. How much time do you suppose intervened between the time of their getting out of the water and Philip being caught away? My guess is not very much. I don't know that. But it looked like abracadabra. Now you see him, now you don't. He's gone. It's another indication that both men were actually in the water when they came up out of the water. The Spirit of the Lord is the Spirit of Christ, means the Holy Spirit caught away Philip. Philip is snatched or carried away Philip, and it pictures Philip as being physically removed from the eunuch. That the eunuch saw him no more is, and the eunuch did not see him, did not see Philip any longer, or any more, or and the eunuch saw him no longer or no more, and he, meaning the eunuch, went on his way rejoicing. And he was going or proceeding on his way or on his journey rejoicing or with joy. He was a happy man. He'd gotten saved, followed the Lord in believer's baptism. Verse 40 indicates Philip's location as he made his way to Caesarea. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. But indicates a continuation of the narrative with a slight change in direction in the sense of now. Whereas the eunuch went on his way, Philip was found elsewhere. Was found suggests what? Was or was present at Azotus, which is understood as found himself at Azotus. It seems that the Holy Spirit had transported Philip from the road on the way to Gaza to Azotus, which is Ashdod, one of five Philistine cities. I wonder how much distance there was between where Philip baptized this man and Ashdod. And the answer is we'll never know, because we don't know exactly where the incident where he was baptized took place. And passing through in all the cities is, and passing through all the cities while he was passing through all the cities, or he was passing through all the cities, meaning the cities on the way from Azotus or Ashdod to Caesarea. And its tense indicates ongoing or repeated action occurring at the same time as the action of preached. He preached. He was preaching. He was proclaiming the gospel, speaking of repeated action in past time till he came to Caesarea, until he came into Caesarea, where he had been located before the Holy Spirit had directed him to go to the place where he would meet the Ethiopian eunuch. Remember, He was involved in a successful pastoral ministry in Caesarea. And the Holy Spirit told him, you, get down to Gaza, on that road to Gaza. I've got something for you to do. But he didn't tell him what, didn't tell him why, didn't tell him where, other than on that road. What would Jesus have you do? Good question. What did Jesus have Philip do? He had him go down to meet the Ethiopian eunuch. So as we draw this to a close, I want to say this. Always be faithful and ready to serve the Lord wherever he directs you. Always stay right with God and be living for him. Be seriously studying God's word. Always be what he wants you to be and be where he wants you to be. Never force things. But always be sensitive to the leading of the Lord and follow his direction and do whatever he leads you to do. When you do, he will give you further direction which is consistent with his will for your life. But if you're not what you should be, and you're not where you should be, and you're not doing what you should be doing, don't look for additional direction. It won't be there. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for this wonderful privilege that we have of studying your word. And help us, our Father, always to be what you want us to be as genuinely saved people, doing what you want us to be doing and be doing it in the way you want us to be doing it. Meet the needs of these dear folks. Thank you for each one who could be here today or who's listening over the internet. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.